Appreciate Drew for the songs that he has selected tonight. We appreciate you joining in and the singing of these songs tonight. And if you're here tonight, and I know we have those who are visiting our services, we are truly, truly grateful that you've come our way. And I hope that you find how you were treated here at our services to be such that you'll want to come back whenever you have the possibility. A week from tonight, following our services, we will be having our Finger Food Congregational Fellowship. Please keep that in mind. Next Sunday night, we'll be honoring the Wakefields as they are about to embark on a new part of their lives. And so let's have a good turnout for that. I think you'll be glad that you were a part of it. Tonight, the lesson is very, very simple, but I hope this lesson tonight will challenge our thinking. I hope it will challenge our priorities in this life. What are the greatest needs in life that you can think of? If we were to take a poll, I'm sure that many, many things would be listed. Some might say, you know, we need peace in our world, and that's a great need today. You look at the conflict that is going on all over this globe today. We hear every day in the news about Al-Qaeda. We hear about unrest in other countries, and so that is a great need for peace. We think about food and clothing, and certainly if you're like me and my family, we had plenty to eat for lunch. And I'm not too worried about where supper's going to be coming from in a few minutes. And I haven't given much thought about the good meals that I'll probably have tomorrow. But for literally millions of people in our world today, they lack for just the basic necessities of life. And so there's a need today for food and clothing, or certainly loving families is something that the world needs today. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Satan targets our families. Satan knows if he ever gets us in our families, he will have won. And so Satan is relentless. And if you look at our world today, we can see the success that Satan has had. There are now more children of single-parent homes than there are of parents with a mom and a dad, the traditional family as we've come to know it. Of course, the need for civil rights will always exist, and there is the need for us to view all people as God's creation. We are all equal in God's sight, regardless of race, regardless of culture, regardless of our social or economic setting. We certainly are concerned about our economy, aren't we? There's the need for jobs. And we are rightfully concerned about our economy. And yet we need to also understand God's in control. And God, things will go according to how God wants them to go. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. There's many other needs that people might consider tonight as well. A lot of people are concerned about our environment. The most important thing in the world today is protecting our environment for future generations. And of course, the environmentalist wackos that are very much alive and verbal in our society today let us know exactly what we're doing to destroy our environment for future generations to come. And I believe in protecting the environment. If the world is allowed to stand by God, then certainly I want my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be able to enjoy some of the things that I've been able to enjoy. But the audacity to think that somehow we as human beings can destroy this world. One day God will take care of that on that last and final day. Of course, we hear a lot about the need to cure dreaded diseases like AIDS or cancer or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of needs out there. But tonight I want to submit for your thoughts that the greatest need that we have right now is the need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to preach the cross upon which our Lord died, the love that God manifested toward every one of us in the sending of His Son. The greatest need, and I'm afraid it's a need that's not being met as it should be, is the need to preach the gospel. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." Now, those people in the first century church took that commission very seriously. We know in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 that those who were subject to that great persecution, as they were forced to leave their homes, they went everywhere preaching the word. Over in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, we read about Philip and how he went down to the city of Samaria. And when he got there, the Bible says he preached Christ unto them. That's the greatest need. We live in a world today that's lost in sin. We encounter people on a daily basis who have absolutely no hope at all of one day living with God forever in heaven. That's the greatest need. But we ask the question, you know, why is this need not being met? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons that we could come up with tonight as to why we are not meeting this need that is so vital and so important. And I think one of the main reasons is the fact that there is a lack of concern. A lack of concern on your part and on my part. Sometimes I think about those that I've come in contact with, those that I might have been able to influence for the cause of Christ if I had just taken more time and had more initiative in trying to reach out to them with the gospel. The Bible says, talking about the mission of Jesus Christ in Luke 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, the cause of our Lord must be our cause as well. The Lord's mission must be our mission. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we must do so as well. The Bible talks about Paul and his desire to save those that he knew and that he came into contact with. Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul was vitally concerned about individuals dying in sin, dying with no Savior and with no hope. And we need to be like Paul in our concern for our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones who are lost. We need to realize that people are lost without the gospel. And I'm afraid we've become so desensitized in many different areas, but we've become desensitized to the idea that people that we know and really love are lost and are going to be condemned forever unless we do something to help them. Now, are we going to meet that challenge? Are we going to take that challenge personally to forget about ourselves and what somebody else may think of us, and to talk to people about their souls? We need to be concerned about our own welfare as well. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Jesus warns us here in this passage that if we don't bear fruit, then we'll be cast into the fire and burned. Maybe another reason why we are really not as concerned about this need, the world's greatest need, I believe, is because there is a lack of knowledge. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, do we understand that that is our mission? Do we have the knowledge that this is a command that has been given to you and to me? It's been given to us on a personal level. It's been given to the church. The church is to be the pillar and the ground for the truth, Paul told Timothy. This is something we need to know. We need to be aware that it's our mission to preach the gospel. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And Peter challenges us with this description of who we are as God's people. A description that ought to make us stop and examine ourselves to make sure that we are what we need to be. Peter says, "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." And then notice what Peter says here, "that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You see, we who once were in darkness, we have been called out of darkness into His light. And our purpose for existence today is to share other people how they can leave that darkness and come into the light of God's Word. And the question is, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? We certainly can do it. We have the manpower to do it. We no doubt have the financial capacity with which to do it. Now, if we don't do it, if we don't take this challenge seriously, who's going to do it for us? We certainly can accomplish it. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, "For by this time ye ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God." Do we need to be taught again? Could it be that we become so shallow sometimes in our Christianity that we fail to understand that it's our job to teach, to take the gospel to others? Maybe another reason we're not meeting this need as we should is a lack of courage. Now, when we're Christians, when we're disciples of Jesus Christ, we're never promised that things are going to be easy for us. The path of a Christian is going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be a road that will be filled with adversity of various kinds. It's not going to be easy. And the Lord has told us that. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He said, "Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For if they so persecuted the prophets that were before you," Jesus makes it clear to them, "My people in the past were persecuted. The prophets were persecuted. You're going to be persecuted." So we can't help but face adversity. It's going to take courage to do what's right and to teach the gospel to those who do not know it. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And then Peter says, don't suffer as a murderer. If you're going to suffer, don't suffer for something wrong. Don't suffer for something evil. Don't suffer as a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's affairs. But he says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, he ought not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this name or in this matter. Maybe one reason why we don't take this need personally is a lack of courage. Or perhaps it may be a lack of focus. You know, we live in a materialistic world today. We're just inundated on every hand by materialism. I think that's the greatest threat to the church today. We have so many material things that God has blessed us with. We've got plenty of clothes to wear, the cars that we drive, the homes that we live in. We can do anything. We can go anywhere. Americans in general take pride in becoming financially self-sufficient. And as a result, our focus becomes on the here and the now. And we tend to lose sight of the hereafter. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Could it be that maybe we don't take this goal, this need of taking the gospel as seriously as we should because we're divided in our loyalties? That we don't have our focus on eternity? That we don't realize that everything that we see, 2 Corinthians 4 says, is temporal in nature, but the things that we don't see are eternal? Is our focus on those things that are temporal in nature and not on those things that are eternal? That's why John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he goes on to say, he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now, this is going to involve a change in our thinking. It's a part of Christian maturity. How do we view things? How do we go about making various decisions in our lives? The people that we associate with, the partner that we choose to live with for life, our marriage partner. We think about, for example, our young people, where you're going to school, where you're going to be educated. Our decisions in life, major decisions and minor decisions, must be made with eternity in perspective. We must always look at things from eternity. And so many times our vision is blurred. Our focus is so short-sighted. Consumed with the here and the now. We all need to be personal workers. We all need to be involved in taking the gospel to other people. And I believe as we grow in our relationship with God, as we grow in the knowledge that that Jesus has given his life for me, first of all, I know what salvation means to me personally. And I want you to know the joy of salvation as well. You know, we need to realize our responsibility to take the gospel to a lost world. And the reason that we need to do this is because the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then I want you to notice verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I don't want to be a recipient of the terror of the Lord. But I know it can be a reality. I know God has warned me over and over again what's going to happen to those that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a recipient of the Lord's vengeance. And with that in mind, I don't want anybody else to be a recipient of that vengeance either. And knowing that terror, I'm going to persuade men. And so that's our challenge tonight. A challenge to take more seriously the responsibility that each one of us have to preach the gospel to those round about us. Tonight, obeying the gospel may be a decision that you need to make yourself. Knowing the terror of the Lord, you need to obey the gospel. Everything is ready tonight. You can become a Christian. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God with all your heart, in that faith tonight, you can repent of your sins and you can be baptized into Christ upon the confession of your faith. Or if it be the case tonight that maybe your focus has been short-sighted, it hasn't been what it needs to be, maybe there are some things tonight that you need to correct in your life. And so tonight we sing this song of invitation, and if there are those that need to respond, we give you this opportunity while we stand and sing.